much about.
You rolling, bro?
Rolling. Yeah, rolling.
3, 2, 1.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If Hillary Clinton wins in 2016, it'll be the first time two presidents have had sex with each other. The person who would proofread Hitler's speeches was a grammar Nazi. If your shirt isn't tucked into your pants, then your pants are tucked into your shirt. Once you have a PhD, every meeting you go to becomes a doctor's appointment. If humans could fly, we would consider it exercise and never do it.
And now,
let's turn on the television radio set and see what's on the air.
Our feature presentation.
Those are some good thoughts, some deep thoughts. I'll tell you that right now.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How much time did you spend thinking about that moment with over the weekend, Kevin? I spent quite a bit.
I know you did. And you tweeted it. And,
I did.
And I got a lot of response from people who found that very funny.
Enjoyed that, yes.
I don't know. I listened to that and I go, they must have, they must have edited together like 5 different things. Because I just kept switching from topic to topic. I know that's not what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it had to have been what happened, because there's no possible way that what you just heard happened.
That was just stream of consciousness, right. Is all that was.
And then it did actually happen.
Well, we had one listener who was terrified that it made perfect sense to him, and he realized that he's got a problem. What's wrong with me that I followed it completely, he said.
That's how you judge yourself, is if
exactly.
That sounded normal to you, then you're in trouble.
Exactly. Anyway, we've got a terrific show planned for you today. Let's get started with this guy who was all the buzz of the internet over the weekend. I know you saw it, Kevin. His name is Richard Gibson. He's the man in Lafayette, Louisiana, who has been saving all of his toenails and fingernail clippings.
Ew.
Since February of 1978, every time he has cut his nails, he has saved them. He says, I remember that date well. I still have the manicure kit. What is a manicure kit, Lisa?
It's a file and clippers and probably something to clean out from under your nails.
Okay. He said he was clipping his toenails when he decided to put the clippings into the manicure box instead of the trash can. I started doing it again and again, and I decided to see how long it would take to fill the box. It took about 2 years to fill the box. By then, he was hooked, and he moved his collection to a glass jar that he currently uses.
That's gross.
Again, since 1978, he's been saving his nail clippings.
Good Lord.
I have no idea how many nails are in the jar. It's well into the thousands. He says his ex-wife used to insist that he hide the jar when visitors came to his house. No surprise, this man has an ex-wife, by the way.
Right.
He says the jar is 99% full, but he hasn't thought yet about what he'll do when the last toenail reaches the tippy top. I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably put them in something else, but I've got enough room for a few more months' worth of nails.
Well, thank God.
He also, by the way, appears in the next edition of Ripley's Believe It or Not. He's in the book. He's a huge Ripley's fan, and it sounds to me like he was trying to get into the book, maybe? I don't know. He has written in to the newspaper column and website. Ripley's, Believe It or Not, for folks who don't know, is Robert Ripley was a real guy who used to travel the world, and the museum down in Hollywood, he'll have the world's largest, the world's tallest, the world's smallest, the world's smelliest, the world's most colorful, whatever it is he can find for a museum, he'll do. And the newspaper column has all sorts of quote-unquote interesting facts. Like a panda poops 40 pounds a day, things like that. This guy with the toenails writes into Ripley's Believe It or Not all the time, has submitted over 70,000 weird facts for the column.
What?
That is commitment.
Over 70,000 times he has written to Ripley's Believe It or Not.
That's
He's
insane.
Had 750 of them printed in the newspaper.
Really?
Yes.
Well, no wonder he keeps doing it.
But look how many he hasn't had printed.
Well, that's true.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, I've had 750 weird facts printed. This is the first time I've ever made it into one of the books, thanks to my nail collection. It's not like winning an Oscar, but I am proud, he says.
And I wish at least he realizes it's not like winning an Oscar.
Exactly.
That's a start.
I wish I had not seen this photo of this jar just filled to the brim with fingernail and toenail clippings. But unfortunately, I did, and there you go. There's our man, Richard Gibson of Lafayette, Louisiana.
What is wrong with people? Like, how does that become a thing?
I don't know.
And then you stick with it for how long did you say?
36 years?
That's crazy. Like 20 years in, you go, you know what? That's enough. Got enough.
I'm just going to throw that out.
I'm going to start tossing it. Wow, it's insane.
Oh, God.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we? And the terrorist, you know, situation. Oh, dear God. Tamblyn will be here.
Yes.
Not positive that I said that name perfectly.
No, it was great.
But I think we'll just go with it. We have some highlights of the MTV Awards from last night.
Excellent.
Video Music Awards. Taylor Swift. Seriously.
Beyonce. Seriously.
Yeah. No, but for different reasons. I mean, Taylor Swift. Seriously.
She's awesome. Right. You're right.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, haven't we had enough? That's that seriously. Beyonce, seriously.
Seriously.
Right? That's the difference. But seriously. For God's sakes. Matt Bellany will be here talking from The Hollywood Reporter about the Emmys, which are tonight.
Yeah, back-to-back award shows. It's weird how it worked out this year.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we usually do. We're going to talk to Ernie Hudson. From Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Seriously, from Ghostbusters. The original.
Seriously.
That's a big Twinkie. My favorite line. And we've got your tickets for Nine Inch Nails Soundgarden in the front row. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bicho at 5:51.
Sadly, Harvey Danger is not on the bill at this weekend's Budweiser Made in America Fest. Mm-hmm. They were unable to attend, I'm sorry to say. So you have to settle with Imagine Dragons and Kanye West and Weezer and Rise Against and Capital Cities and more. We got tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show a couple different times. We'll hook you up with Made in America. And don't forget, front row Nine Inch Nails Soundgarden tickets coming as well. It's Monday morning. Ralph joins us. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Since it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Once again, Guardians of the Galaxy, number one at the box office, $17.6 million.
Wow.
Not many people went to the movies this weekend, but $17.6 million was enough to make Guardians number one again. By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy, just as a little sidebar, is now the top-grossing film of the summer here in North America, beating out Transformers, Age of Extinction, and Maleficent in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So that's good news for Marvel and Disney. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was second at the box office. If I Stay in its debut, the new Chloe Moretz movie made $16.4 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Let's Be Cops was fourth, and When the Game Stands Tall came in at number five. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, not a big hit at number six with $6.7 million this weekend. The Giver, Expendables 3, The 100-Foot Journey, and Into the Storm were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Last night at the MTV VMA Awards, Kim Kardashian showed up wearing a bath mat. And maybe her choice in clothing is one of the reasons one of the Kardashian clothing stores is going under.
Love it.
Dash, the clothing store in Southampton, New York, is apparently in trouble, largely because, according to people who live in the neighborhood, people think their clothes are tacky and too expensive.
Mm.
So Dash,
USA!
Going out of business.
USA!
However, the stores in Miami, New York City, and Los Angeles are still thriving because people there are also tacky and too expensive. It all works out.
Ralph, did you see that outfit that you described?
I did, yes.
It was glue, right, or something? There's no way her breasts stay like that and
Some sort of something's going there. On, right? Yeah, some sort of it's a tacky substance keeping everything put together. But, boy, it was not flattering. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, hey, look at this. Look at these.
Sure, look at these. But everyone's going to look at them anyway.
Right,
put a dress on.
Yeah.
Why do you wear, like, a poncho
I don't know.
And some sort of serape around your waist? It made her legs look stumpy and weird, and it was just an odd choice.
It looked to me like she was coming out of a teepee.
Yes. The only job she has, really, is to look good at these things.
Yeah.
And she failed, I think.
Was there ever a time they shot over to her and Kylie and Kendall where they weren't on their phones?
No.
Was there one time where they were looking down on their phones?
Or where anyone was smiling?
No, they just seem miserable all the time.
They were miserable.
Even on the red carpet, they don't manage a smile for a photographer. They all just seem, I guess they're just trying to be so cool that they can't smile. It's not cool to smile, I guess.
Oh.
I choose to believe that they're all just genuinely unhappy.
Yeah, well.
That makes me feel good.
Very possible.
So, let's hope so. Sad news. Famed director and actor Sir Richard Attenborough has passed away at the age of 90. He was a terrific director. Of course, Gandhi, perhaps his most famous film that he directed, but he was also an actor as well. He was in The Great Escape and The Sand Pebbles, and probably best known for his work as the creator, founder of Jurassic Park in that film. Hmm. Terrific actor and director, passed away at the age of 90 this weekend. So it's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
And I thought this was interesting casting news. Pee-wee Herman, better known as Paul Reubens, will be joining the cast of NBC's The Blacklist this season.
Really?
No, Paul Reubens, the actor, will be joining. Pee-wee won't be showing up.
Hi, Red.
What are you doing?
He won't be there. But
that would take the show a very different direction.
It would. Paul Reubens will play a role as sort of an underworld fixer.
Really?
Yeah. I think Paul Reubens is a great actor. I think this actually could be very interesting. That's, I'm looking forward to seeing
straight, it. He doesn't do a lot of serious roles, though, does he?
He doesn't
do a lot of roles at all. But.
Look, usually when he does a more serious role, it's got some sort of weird, twisted, quirky bent to it. I'm sure this will be no different. But I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. He was in that movie Blow, remember?
Yeah.
He was really good in that. That was a dark role for him.
He was in the Buffy feature film before the series.
That's right.
Did a great job as a vampire. So, got a lot going on. Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey are headed to divorce court, as we all know by now. Looks like it's all over for those two. Apparently, Nick was the one who pulled the trigger, saying that he's concerned about Mariah Carey's mental health. And he wants to create a safe haven for their 3-year-old twins to go to outside of that family, so when she's crazy, they can come to him.
That seems to have been, that's the message about her for quite some time.
She's crazy.
She is crazy.
Yeah. And The Wizard of Oz is celebrating its 75th anniversary today. 75 years ago today, The Wizard of Oz was released in films. And in a related story, NBC's got a new series called Emerald City that they had commissioned, that they have decided to bag. The show hasn't even aired yet, and they've already canceled it and decided not to put it on television.
You know what about that show that we wanted? We don't want that.
You know that thing where we reimagine The Wizard of Oz?
Right.
Turns out no one gives a rat's ass about The Wizard of Oz. Let's not air that. Sources say the series still could move to another network, but so far nobody appears to be very interested, so we may never see the reimagining of The Wizard of Oz, Emerald City, on television.
I'm all right with that.
You sure?
Yeah. I don't need to see that redone.
And lastly, there's some bad news for Bean.
Uh-oh.
Researchers are working on a special nail polish that could tell you if your drink is laced with date rape drugs.
Wow, what are you going to do, Bean?
You would paint this polish on your fingernails, and then you would dip your finger into the drink, and if it changes color, it's like a litmus test. If the nail polish changes color, it means someone tried to dose your drink with roofie or some other drugs.
Wow. I don't know who you think is trying to date rape me, but I generally don't drink drinks I don't prepare myself anyway.
I think maybe you're confusing the dynamics of that relationship. Yeah.
I don't mean this to be insensitive, but does it happen enough that everybody should get?
Yes.
Does it really still?
It does.
Oh, I didn't know.
I mean,
that.
It's not 100,000 times a year or anything like that, but it's enough that people are afraid of it, yeah.
Kevin, you'll be interested to know nearly 1 in 5 women have experienced some sort of forced sex attempt in their lives.
Wow, that's horrible.
And more than 1/3 of those happen when women are college-aged, and that's when most women, if they are going to be dosed in their drinks with roofies or something like that, that's usually when it happens.
Wow.
So this would allow them to be able to detect early if someone tried to slip something in their drink.
That's a depressing statistic.
It sure is. Apparently it's being developed by 4 male undergrads at North Carolina State University. So guys in college decided to do something about this.
Well, they're going to get kicked out of their fraternity, I'll tell you that.
Oh, stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Blake Lively is 27 years old today. Rachel Bilson's 33. Alexander Skarsgård's 38 years old. Claudia Schiffer, legendary model, turns 44. Omar's favorite, Rachel Ray, is 46 years old today.
He does love her.
Singer Billy Ray Cyrus turns 53. Rob Halford, longtime singer, of course, of Judas Priest, 63 years old today. Gene Simmons, owner of the LA Kiss. And, of course, member of the band Kiss. He is 65 years old. TV show host Regis Philbin is 83 years old today. And Sean Connery. Sean Connery celebrates his 84th birthday today.
I'm going to celebrate by slapping 84 women.
Come on, Sean.
Sean, that's not appropriate. Where'd he go?
I'm over here.
Where? Every time I turn around, he disappears.
That guy's quick for 84.
He is. He's still moving.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Then Ernie Hudson. Winston was his name, right? In the Ghostbusters movie?
Original Ghostbusters?
Winston, I think. He's going to be joining us in about 30 minutes as well, coming up. Hey, speaking of that Coldplay song, Kevin, you were watching the MTV Video Music Awards last night from the Forum. Mm-hmm. How odd was that Robin Williams tribute?
It was really strange in that it just came out of nowhere and only lasted, what, 15 seconds?
About that, probably, yeah. Somewhere between 15 and 30 of that song of Coldplay, Sky Full of Stars. And it was just four or five photos of Robin Williams above the stage. No mention of it, not even his name, no text, nothing. It was just a nod.
I sort of liked it. I don't know why. I just feel like had they done more, it wouldn't have helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if they had put text up, had they made it longer?
Like tonight on the Emmys, they'll probably spend a couple of minutes on them, I guess. But it was also odd because it was the only mention of anyone who died over the past year. It's not like they have an in memoriam section that they do on that show.
Right.
It was just kind of weird.
Yeah, it was. It was sort of just out of the blue. But
I guess it's nice that they, you know, paid tribute to the man that so many people who watch MTV and around the world were big fans of. The show was last night. Overall, I thought, I wonder if it's possible to perform on a stage and not have 20 people dancing behind me. Is that a thing we're allowed to do anymore, or no? Has that been outlawed somehow?
That's outlawed, yeah. Yeah, you have to have at least 20.
With the exception of Sam Smith, who I think was just up there singing with a piano player, it seemed to me like everybody else brought out a dance squad of cheerleaders on the show last night. I mean, it was crazy how much of that was going on. Who did you love, Kevin?
Who did I love? Are you saying the word love?
Yeah. Who did you think was great? Was there anyone you thought was great?
I thought Beyonce's always good.
Yeah.
I thought so too.
But everybody else was just good.
All right. Well, let's hear some highlights of the show. They don't have a host on the MTV Video Music Awards anymore for some reason, but they did have Jay Farro.
He was the highlight for me, probably.
He is one of the impressionists and actors on Saturday Night Live, and they basically hired him on that show because he does a great Denzel Washington, and he does Barack Obama, and he does Will Smith. Well, he did a couple of other voices last night that I hadn't heard him do before, including when he came out as Jay-Z.
I'm just taking care of our baby, Blue Ivy. I'm a very strict father. I'm like Blue, stop it. Get the rollie out your mouth. Do chip a tooth. Daddy loves you.
And by the way, that's, of course, with Jay-Z and Beyonce in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian is there. She looked like she actually enjoyed when Jay Farro came out as Kanye West, her husband.
Nah, they asked me to come out here and tell y'all about the artist to watch. But there's only really one artist to watch. Me! I'm not even performing tonight, fam. I created television. Can't nobody else do that. Matt Lauer. I didn't even get an award, even though everything I do is genius. My videos cure ALS, y'all. I don't need to do no ice bucket challenge, fam.
There were two things that I was convinced, if I had been in Las Vegas, I would have put money down on two things happening on the awards show last night. That somebody was going to get an ice bucket challenge.
Same.
And that didn't happen last night. That was the only reference to the challenges. And the other thing is that it was guaranteed, because it was at the Forum, how long was it going to be before somebody made this joke that Gwen Stefani made on stage with Snoop Dogg?
And we're here at the Fabulous Forum in Inglewood, California.
Inglewood up to no good.
I mean, how can you go to Inglewood and not say Inglewood up to no good, right?
I love Gwen Stefani, but that was a weird delivery.
It was
up
a weird
to
delivery.
No good.
Now, that's a line from California Love, right? Which is like, I don't know, 20 years old or something like that. I wondered how many people in the audience even knew what the hell she was talking about.
Yeah.
Who's the old lady? What's she talking about? speaking of Kim Kardashian being there, I've heard worse presenters on stage try to read from a teleprompter. I mean, she did articulate the words clearly, and you could hear her, but she sure sounds like reading isn't her strong suit.
Sometimes you hear a voice, and you just know it's special. It moves you with its honesty and makes you feel like whatever's going on in your own life, somebody else might be going through it, too.
Is it my imagination? Does it sound like
whatever is going on in your own life?
She's a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. She has no personality.
It was weird to hear her. I mean, because, I mean, she's not an actress, I guess, but you expect to hear, I don't know, just sound a little bit more comfortable,
yeah.
I would think.
And they took the camera to them, I don't know, 15, 20 times during the show.
Yeah, sure did.
And I felt like, look, we all know Kanye belongs in that arena, but what were any of the Kardashians doing there, and why did anyone care?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, I can only guess that MTV invited them because they knew they have millions of fans around the world and people would want to see them.
I guess.
Maybe, but it was weird, I mean, that she was asked to present.
Yeah.
There are so many musical acts that weren't, you know what I mean? That kind of made more sense. It's not like the Kardashian show is even on MTV or anything.
Yeah.
Let me see. Talking about last night's VMAs on MTV, Chelsea Handler was there last night. I don't know why, but here's what she had to say.
Thank you. Thank you. I am here to present the Moon Man for Best Male Video Award. They asked me if I wanted to present at the VMAs, and I said there's going to be a lot of big fat asses at that award show. So I will present, but you have to put me up after someone who's white. So thank you, Taylor Swift, for being so white.
Yeah. Why is she always so foul, by the way, Chelsea Handler?
Well, I think that's her thing, but that wasn't funny.
Right.
The point to me is that there's no humor there. She says it like it's a joke.
Right.
But it wasn't really funny at all.
But in her defense, Taylor Swift is super white.
She is really
She's
white.
She's really, really white. So, I mean, at least it did kind of fit. It wasn't that
sense.
Much of a stretch.
It wasn't funny, but it made sense.
There were a couple of serious moments on the show last night. One was a big surprise, and Miley Cyrus on the red carpet out in front ahead of the show said that she had something up her sleeve that she didn't want to talk about because she was afraid they were going to pull it. And I wondered what that would be. Now, she wasn't performing or anything. She wasn't even presenting this year, but she ended up winning. And I assume she knew this ahead of time. She ended up winning the Video of the Year for Wrecking Ball.
Which came out in 2004?
It was within the time frame that MTV was covering for last night's show. So they announced Wrecking Ball. She jumps up out of her front row seat with a guy who I assumed was the director of the video. Usually that's how it works. The director and the artist go up together to accept the award. Well, it turns out that's not who it was at all. And here's what happened when the guy took the microphone on stage. Miley didn't go up with him. She ended up stopping and letting him go up by himself. And here's what he said. It was a real surprise to everyone.
Thank you all. My name is Jesse. And I am accepting this award on behalf of the 1.6 million runaways and homeless youth in the United States who are starving, lost, and scared for their lives right now. I know this because I'm one of these people.
So Miley developed a partnership with a homeless facility, and this is her charity now. This is her campaign, and that's how she chose to introduce it. It was on the MTV Video Music Awards last night.
It was weird.
It was
surprising. You didn't expect anything like
that. And you could hear the crowd is like kind of whooping it up right as this guy talks. And then when they realize, oh, he's serious, this isn't a bit. He really is a homeless guy up on stage here. We better stop and listen to this guy.
I listened halfway through. I still thought it's going to turn and they're going to try and be
like
funny.
Lick some his face.
Yeah, or some wacky. Like, I didn't really think that's what it was.
Yeah, it turned out to be just for reals, which is kind of, you know, say what you will about Miley, but I mean, she gave up her biggest moment in the spotlight ever on the VMAs, you know, winning the Video of the Year award and turned it over and tried to do something good with it. All right, one more clip. And this was the other serious moment on the program last night because this was Common who came out and he was presenting an award for best hip hop video. And he decided to take that opportunity to say a few words about what's been going on down in Ferguson, Missouri. And Kevin, you, as I do, know that a moment of silence is very tricky in a big room.
Yep.
You're at the Forum. You got 20,000 people there at a, you know, at a high energy MTV show, mostly teenagers in the audience, early 20s. What are the chances on a serious subject like this you're going to get a moment of silence? Let's see what happened as Common tried to pull that off last night.
I want us all to take a moment of silence for Mike Brown and for peace in this country and in the world.
And the terrorist, you know, situation.
Yeah.
Come on.
Give it up.
Come on.
Just that one a-hole. One guy had to say something. There's always somebody.
By the way, that moment of silence was 7 seconds. He didn't want to push it. So those are the highlights from
Monday morning means we go to the TMZ newsroom and check in with our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. What'd you think of the VMAs last night?
I was sleeping. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. That's okay. I'm sure your crew will be talking about it today.
Oh no. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the funny thing to me is two things. Riff Raff. Uh-huh. Turns out when he told us like a month ago he was dating Katy Perry, and we said right.
Yeah, right.
He is.
They're really dating? I thought they were just there because they've been working together on a remix.
They're together. They were talking about having babies last night.
Oh, no.
She has bizarre taste in guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Brand, that was a weird...
John Mayer. She doesn't have a type, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She does not have a type.
Wow.
We were told absolutely positively by Jennifer Lopez's people that she's done with Casper Smart. It's over.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't look that way.
No. Was he there last night? Because I did not see him on the red carpet. She was by herself.
She was feeding him Skittles.
Okay, that's not over then.
that means they're banging.
I wasn't aware that was how it worked.
No, there's a direct correlation.
That's true. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things up on the site. You had, let's do the fun one first, and that's the Nicki Minaj performance. What do you know about what happened yesterday that ended up with one of her dancers being rushed to the hospital?
Well, that's interesting that this was such a violent weekend when you have to call a snake bite the fun one. You know what it was like.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's an anaconda that she used for Anaconda, and they're manipulating the snake on stage, and it bites one of the dancers on Friday. So we put the story up on the site. They 86 the snake, and then Nicki is making sounds that she's going to bring a snake back. And they said initially it wasn't going to be the same snake, but somehow the snake does turn up. And bottom line is that they bailed, and it's unclear who bailed. I am guessing the network bailed, because if they have evidence that these snakes are aggressive during this, and they don't ban it, and then the snake bites somebody else and somebody gets badly hurt, they are screwed.
Yeah, that seems bad.
That's a good point. If you already have had a heads up that it's happened once, and then you make somebody go through it again. I'm sure you looked into this, but what are the repercussions of being bit by an anaconda? That's not a poisonous snake, right?
No, it's not a poisonous snake, but the snakes have a certain bacteria which can cause a really bad infection. So, not poisonous, but it still can be really bad. I mean, an infection can kill you.
I'd say, I would honestly go so far as to say maybe don't bring a snake out on stage at the VMAs.
but how do you do it? What do you bring out? You bring out a bunny rabbit for Anaconda?
Yeah,
that's Anaconda food. So
all Nicki needs is her sweet ass, Harvey. That was enough. Believe me. We had plenty to look at on stage without a wildlife exhibit. All right, let's talk about the more serious case. I honestly thought it was some sort of a throwback Thursday post when I put up TMZ Sunday morning and saw that Suge Knight had been shot at a VMA party. I thought, haven't we already lived through this?
He should do like a superhero movie. I mean, he just keeps on ticking.
Yeah.
Shot 6 times. And it is a bizarre situation. Because here's what you got. Chris Brown is hosting this pre-VMA party at One Oak. And Chris Brown is on stage just ganging it up. He's got the red bandana on, which is the moniker for the Bloods. He is throwing up gang signs. I mean, Chris has made no secret about it that he is into the Bloods, and as is Suge Knight. And then Game is outside. He's done the same thing, and Game couldn't get in, and there was a big fight outside when Game tried to get in and was thwarted. So inside, you know, with all this gang stuff going on, all of a sudden, you see this commotion. We got 15 videos, it seems, of this thing from different perspectives, and there's all this commotion, and then the shots ring out. So three people get shot. We are told that there's a surveillance camera inside or some video where the LAPD has now identified the shooter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And they know who it is, and you know, they haven't identified him yet. We have a sense of who it is.
What does that mean? But, you have a sense? You have a guess?
Well, no. I mean, we've obviously been talking to people, and people know because it was in the middle of a crowded place.
Right.
But obviously, nobody wanted to talk to cops because it looks like there might be gangs involved, and the last thing a lot of people want to do is start pointing fingers at somebody where bad things happen.
Was it Taylor Swift?
Yeah. God, what a lucky guess.
Stab in the dark, man.
Harvey, how lucky is Suge Knight? You said he's some sort of superhero. If he really ended up getting shot 4 or 5 or 6 times, however many actually hit him, and by all accounts from the hospital, it does not appear to be life-threatening. That's just unbelievable.
Well, he had surgery, and he was in ICU. It was not life-threatening. It is unbelievable to me, too. I mean, it is... It's a whole thing, and it's really troubling. I got to tell you. I mean, I don't know. I know it's not like an old man right now, but it's, you know, it's weird that all of a sudden there seems to be this resurgence of gang violence in rap.
It does seem like that was a time and a place, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. And all of a sudden, and rap evolved into, you know, people are writing about, you know, champagne, singing about champagne and fine art.
Right, sure. Right.
You know, when you listen to Jay-Z and others. And but yet, all of a sudden, you see stuff like this going on, and it's really troubling.
And Saturday, you had a shooting at a Wiz Khalifa concert in California, too, that ended
somebody
up having
got,
the
somebody
show
got
canceled.
Killed. And
that's
somebody
right.
Got so, killed, and I think that was gang related. So
yep,
I know it's a
bad deal. All right. Well, listen, Kevin has long said
how
that Chip Knight is a punk ass,
how
and that
you?
He deserves whatever happens to him. I've heard Kevin say that a million times
I've
before.
I've never said that.
So we'll see what happens when Mr. Knight, who I respect a great deal, gets out of the hospital.
How dare
all
you.
I can say is I'm glad I'm doing this by phone.
4 times a day on Fox, you can watch the original TMZ show. TMZ Live airs Monday through Fridays at 4 on Channel 11 as well. And then Channel 13 at 11 a.m. for TMZ Sports. Harvey, have a great week. Thanks for the time, sir.
You too, guys. Yeah.
Hey, do we have the guy?
They're on the line. They haven't put him on hold yet.
Getting close? Okay.
Yeah.
Big show today. Actress Amber Tamblyn on the program today. Also, a Kevin and Bean listener needs some medical help. We'll try to help her out. And Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter is going to be joining us with a preview of tonight's Emmys. All right, we have the guy. Hit it, Steve.
Sorry, a little early.
Something strange in your neighborhood.
I never get tired hearing this song. Or seeing that movie. Ordinarily, we might just bring up that Ghostbusters is one of the greatest movies of all time, maybe the funniest comedy ever, and it's very special for us to announce that this weekend it is back in theaters. Ghostbusters, kids, is celebrating its 30th anniversary release. 30 years.
That's
now, Kevin, I know that's your favorite, literally your favorite movie of all time.
It was for a long time. It's in my top 5 still.
Well, Ernie Hudson is on the phone with us right now, and what a thrill it is to welcome the man himself to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Hudson.
Oh, hey, guys. Hi. Good morning. It's so great to be with you.
It's so great to be with you as well. 30 years. To us, that's unbelievable. How does it feel to you as a guy who was in the movie?
Yeah, no, I'm so amazed that the movie has sort of sustained itself. I mean, it didn't just sort of disappear and then came back. I mean, Ghostbusters has been around, I mean, literally around for 30 years. Fans have been loving it and, you know, making their outfits, and it's sort of built in a very, very strange way.
It's one of the few movies that it doesn't matter at what point I come across it, I have to stop and watch it to the end.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm halfway through when I get to it, I go, it's Ghostbusters, I got to finish watching
it. Yeah, it all kind of, sometimes it all comes together in the right way, and I think it was just such a perfect little movie.
Did you know at the time when you were making it that it was going to be a classic for the ages, or did you think, this is just it's another fun comedy that'll be in theaters for a month and then we'll move on to something else?
Yeah, well, as an actor, you always have to take that approach. You think, this is going to be great, but the reality is rarely is it great, and rarely does it even last the weekend. But sometimes in this case it really turned out to be something special. But no, I don't think anybody knew. You hope, you got your hopes up. But
sure. I always wondered about when I read that Mr. Aykroyd and Mr. Ramis wrote that movie, knowing what great improvers they are, was that what it was like on the set, too? Were you guys coming up with things kind of on the fly as you were shooting, or did you stick pretty much to the page?
Well, you know, it's Danny had the original idea, and Harold was brought in, and they wrote it, and they had a great script. And we stuck to the script for the most part. Of course, those guys are from improvisational theater, and I'm from just traditional theater, but we would always shoot what we had on page.
Right.
And then it would be like, okay, Bill would always have something else.
Sure.
You know, other ideas. And then we'd shoot whatever. We had time to shoot whatever was funny. And the funniest thing is what you go with. They weren't married to that script or to the page. And a lot of times we had something much funnier, and sometimes what was written was the funniest, and we kept that.
Which one was "That's a Big Twinkie"? Because that was one of my favorite lines of all time. Is that on the page?
I think it's on the page. I think it's on the page. We had a little run with it. He talks about that, and I said, "Well, that's a big Twinkie." And then Bill Murray comes in, and I go, "Tell him about the Twinkie." And so it's like a little riff. I'm not sure if all of that riff was there, but the Twinkie was definitely in the script.
30 years ago, Ernie, I'm trying to remember what we had in terms of special effects. I mean, movies like Star Wars were already doing good stuff, but there wasn't CGI back then. Did you have any difficult scenes to film, like with the streams or with the Marshmallow Man or anything like that, where it was just kind of real awkward or difficult on set?
Well, it was, you pull together a team. I was amazed. I got invited to come to hear the orchestra do the soundtrack, and there was like hundreds of people in the orchestra. I was like shocked. And then I realized how many people it takes to make a movie, just a moment, in a movie. It was just so many. And when you do a movie at that level and you get the best people, then everybody shows up and they do their A game. And that's what happened with Ghostbusters. I can only imagine what the 60-foot Marshmallow Man would look like.
Yeah.
And yet somehow the guys who put him together, it all worked. The Slimer thing, all that stuff that you kind of hope will... Now, if you're doing a low-budget movie and the guy doesn't know what he's doing, you can hope, but you know it's going to turn out looking pretty bad.
Right.
But with Ghostbusters, these were the top guys, and they delivered.
That's amazing. I forgot about the sliming. I mean, that's something that easily could have been terrible. We only have a couple minutes with you, Ernie, but I want to mention not only is the movie going to be in theaters this weekend to celebrate its 30th anniversary release, but you guys are really doing it up like big time on Blu-ray for both movies, right?
Yeah, the Blu-ray for the 25th anniversary for the second, the 30th for the first, with some extra behind-the-scenes stuff and maybe some added scenes. But it should be really, really nice. That's September 16th.
Do you guys do commentary through the movie? Can we watch you guys talking about filming those scenes, too?
Yeah, some of the scenes. I'm not sure what they added and what they, left out. But definitely, I think the Ghostbuster fans are going to love what they put out.
Well, I know you've been in show business for a long time, and you've had literally hundreds of roles. And you're such a terrific actor. It's so great to have you on the show. And it's so great to meet a man who's part of the legend that is Ghostbusters. Thanks for the time, Ernie.
Thank you guys so much. Great talking to you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Here's why Kevin's awesome. Ernie Hudson is on the phone. He's on hold. He's mm-hmm. listening to the show.
Well, then you're wrong.
And we're setting up that we're getting ready to talk to Mr. Hudson mm-hmm. about the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And I say, Kevin, Ghostbusters, your favorite movie of all time, right? Because how many times have we heard Kevin say that?
Yep. Yeah. Every time.
Ernie Hudson is on the phone. He's in the movie Ghostbusters. We're getting ready to talk to him.
This is the moment.
Right. This is it. Kevin says... it used to be. Not so much anymore. I mean, I like it. It's good.
Not really so interested anymore.
Take it or leave it.
It was until The Hangover.
Right, but why?
The guy's on the phone.
I know. He's on the phone.
Maybe err to the side of, okay, just fudge it a little bit for the guy who's in the freaking movie. What's wrong with you?
Why would you do that, Kevin?
For 20 years, it was your favorite movie. Okay, 2 years ago, that changed. For the 20 years worth, for the guy who's in the movie, couldn't you be decent enough to say, yes, that's my favorite film. I love it.
I accept your scorn. Everything you're saying seems to make perfect sense.
Well, what was going through your head?
Oh, never ask that question. There's no good answer.
All of a sudden, you're concerned with accuracy?
I just can't lie about something like that.
All right, my bad.
Oh, that one's your bad.
I'll take that one on myself.
Oh, that's on you.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize. Oh. That's on me.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm sorry about that.
Kevin's up.
All right.
Kevin's up.
Right.
Kevin's up.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And I love him. And I love the movie.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. Just fudge it a little bit and make the guy feel a little bit more special.
I didn't even have to say it. Bean already said it. All I had to say was, yes.
Just agree.
Just one word.
Yeah, wow. No, not Mr. Truth in Advertising.
I have to be honest,
well,
Ralph. You
right.
know that about me.
You are honest to a fault if you're all about accuracy and fairness in journalism.
So you go
freaking
to a party.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
You go to a party and your wife runs up to a friend and goes, wow, that's a cute dress. You have to jump in and go, that's not that cute, actually.
Yeah.
It's not a really good looking dress at all.
That woman over there is wearing a much cuter dress over there by the buffet table. I think your dress is by the sixth cutest in the room.
My bad.
But he drops the mic.
I'm going to take that one on myself and say that's my fault. Sorry.
Let's take a look at the weekend's box office and see what people went to see in theaters. Not a lot of people at the movies this weekend. I don't know why. What was going on that they did other stuff? Vacationing, maybe? End of summer vacationing? People traveling?
Know.
But Guardians of the Galaxy was number one at the box office, and that, at number one, only made $17.6 million. Right behind it was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, $16.8 million. If I Stay, in its debut, the new Chloe Moretz movie made $16.4 million. Let's Be Cops, When the Game Stands Tall, were your top five. Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, did less than expected with $6.7 million.
I saw that one. Who's the, is it Eva Green?
Ava Green, yeah.
Ava Green?
Mm-hmm.
Topless 100% of the movie. We'll save Mr. Skin some time. Just beginning, end. All of it nude.
There you go.
Tired.
So is that a good thing?
Yes.
I would think so.
Yes,
too.
It is.
Giver, 7th. The Expendables, 3 was 8th. Then The 100-Foot Journey and Into the Storm were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Real quick, thoughts on the VMAs. Has all female pop performances, with the exception of Beyonce, who is an exceptional entertainer, have all female pop performances become the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
They have the exact same backup dancers doing the same moves, with uh-huh. and the costumes all look the same. And if you
same
turn
track.
The, if you turn the sound down, it would just look like it would look like some sort of cheerleading competition.
Yeah. Yes.
It all looks the same.
And none of them sing by themselves anymore. You have to sing with someone else.
And apparently none of them can sing.
Oh, well, there's that.
Live. Did you hear one, again, other than Beyonce, who's in a class of herself, who anybody impress you with their live vocals?
Of the ladies,
not really.
Not really. Sam Smith was the best performance of the night.
I agree.
Because he's an incredible singer.
What about the ladies now?
Yeah, of the ladies, no, not really. I mean, some were better than others, but nobody was exceptional. Nobody stood out. I wish Lorde had performed. At least she makes a tiny nod to some sort of actual artistry.
Right.
But they didn't even get her that chance.
But Ariana Grande, who's just lovely, just adorable
she
out there.
She was okay.
She was okay. But
she was fine.
She punted that one note, that sort of... the money note there. She just punted that through the back of the end zone. That was not a winner. But Taylor Swift, she can't perform live.
She's the worst.
She's not good
in every way.
I disagree with that.
I know you.
She
do.
Had some. No, you
she's
don't know that. I
terrible.
Do. She had some problems with the high notes on that song. Absolutely.
She's
absolutely.
Just not an entertainer. She just isn't. You see her in the crowd. Have you seen
that weird, creepy dancing she does?
She's just. She seems like she's. She's one of my people. She's special needs.
She's inexplicable. She's really. Inexplicable.
I don't get it.
But as I watched
Fifth Harmony, by the way, was the worst of the night, I thought. They're horrible.
Did they perform?
I don't think they did. I saw them performing on the pre-show.
Oh,
they might have been on the pre-show. And then they won an award, too. But they're useless. They look like the first five girls you run into at the Glendale Gallery. Let's make a band out of them.
Yeah. Highlight of the weekend for me, for sure, find it on YouTube. Iggy Azalea falling off the stage.
That was great.
That's the highlight.
At rehearsal, yeah.
At rehearsal at the pre-event. That
was
spectacular.
I wasn't that impressed with her either, by the way. Nope. I like her records a lot. Nope. Live didn't do anything for me.
They're all manufactured in the studio.
But Taylor Swift, easily the worst.
She's just so weird and awkward and just... She's like a mannequin. She's all outside and nothing inside.
She's empty.
Yeah. She's a fembot.
She's a fembot.
She's a robot with a bad dancing chip.
They need to get her back into the lab. Tune up her dancing respondometer. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively's 27. Rachel Bilson's 33. Alexander Skarsgård's 38. Claudia Schiffer's 44. Rachel Ray, TV chef in favor of DJ Omar Khan, 46 years old. Billy Ray Cyrus is 53. You know, a lot of the performances last night made me think, you know, Miley Cyrus may be sort of a crass a piece of white trash, but at least she rocks it. She gets out
she
there.
She had a great voice,
she
too.
She does her thing. She can sing, and she does her thing. I can give her that. Yeah. It's not for me, but at least she's got some talent. Billy Ray Cyrus is 53. Rob Halford, Judas Priest, is 63. Gene Simmons is 65. Regis Philbin turns 83 years old today. And actor Sean Connery celebrates his 84th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, how about some tickets for you to the Budweiser Made in America Fest, which is happening downtown L.A. at Grand Park this weekend. A great lineup, including Kanye West, Imagine Dragons, and so much more. We got tickets you can win between now and 8 o'clock. That's coming up. Plus, we'll talk Emmys in a few minutes. Taylor Swift is awesome, first of all. But second of all, you really can't please all the people all the time, can you? I mean, she's one of the two or three best-selling acts in the world, so she definitely has fans. But every move she makes, there are plenty of people that are ready to be critical of it, too.
Right.
Now, you tell me whether this is legitimate or not. You saw her new video that just came out last week for Shake It Off, her new song. And
right.
In the video, she's trying to dance all sorts of different styles of dancing. And she's terrible at all of them.
Right.
Because she's a terrible dancer. Because she's super white.
Right.
As Ralph said, she's a fembot. Black women in particular apparently are very upset with this video. This is from an interview, I think, on the Huffington Post, I want to say. Listen to their criticisms of Taylor's video.
You know, for Miley, she just looks stupid. But right. Taylor, to me, it's like, look, I'm in my black costume now, so let me try and shake my no ass at all.
She does have no ass at all.
What was that guy?
He was enjoying hearing about asses a little bit too much. So the criticism is that... What? What is the criticism that they're making? That she can't dance like a black girl?
I think that she's making fun of black girls.
Is that
the
what
criticism?
Is?
But I don't buy that.
I don't either.
Well, let's see what this lady says, because she apparently very upset with it.
It really recreates this fetishizing of the black female body, and in a way that seems less than interested, which some of the other dance forms when she's trying and failing miserably at all of them in the video. But in this particular moment, being underneath them and looking up has this very objectifying gaze. And I don't even think they capture twerking very well from the way they're shooting it, that the shoot these bodies moving is very much so wrapped up in ideas about what blackness is and some conception of this particular white woman's, young white woman's conception of what blackness is moving.
I have to be honest. I'm not smart enough to understand what she said.
I'm not either. I'm sorry.
I don't understand that.
That criticism escaped me as well. But then we're not looking at it from the perspective of a young black woman who is used to seeing her culture objectivized either. So, I, you know what? There's only one way to settle this. And let's find out what Taylor herself had in mind when she made the Shake It Off video. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk to her a little bit about her performance on the VMAs last night as well. Hi, Taylor. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to Kevin and Bean on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You knew that you'd be talking to us. We actually set it up ahead of time. This is not a surprise to you, Taylor.
I can't believe it. I'm talking to you on the phone, and I hear you on the other end of the phone. I can't believe it.
That's how phone calls
work. That's how phones work, yeah.
Right.
Nothing special there. So, Taylor, please answer your critics who say that your video is in new video Shake It Off is in some ways racist, perpetuating black stereotypes. What say you?
Well, all I can say is, head is gonna hurt, head, head,
yeah,
head.
Yeah, sure.
Back head, head, head,
right.
Shake it off, shake it.
What are you doing?
Dancing.
Okay. Now, I know that there are sometimes people who are just hating to hate, but sometimes people aren't just hating. They're actually making a valid point, and you need to consider that as well.
Black people dance funny.
What does that mean?
They shake their bottoms.
Right?
No, what?
What's wrong with you?
No, it's so I just put it in my video because it's funny, because I can't shake my bottom as much as they shake.
Because you have no ass, as we've heard from the clip.
I have a flat white girl ass.
Yeah, right, you do. Yeah. So are you objective?
So I put on the bling on.
That's right, you sure did. You dressed
short,
up.
Short, and I danced.
Was that dancing again, or was that a grand mal seizure? So you are not objectifying or fetishizing African-American women in your video?
No! I don't even know what those words mean.
All right, so
I know it's playing got a blah blah
blah blah. Haters gonna hate my hate, 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 right? You okay?
Yeah, just dancing.
Okay, dancing. What about your painfully white performance last night on the VMAs?
Listen, I'm a singer. That's what I do.
Barely.
I'm a singer.
Okay.
I'm so good at singing. Oh, my God. I can't believe how good I am singing.
Okay. Look, I'm a fan of yours, Taylor, and I've seen you in concert a number of times, and I think you're talented. I don't think last night was the best I've heard your voice, my dear.
I was great last night.
Well, I mean, it seems like you had some trouble with some of the – I think we have the tape of the isolated just Taylor Swift's vocals without the band. I think maybe we could hear a little bit of that.
All right, here we go.
Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say.
I don't know, Taylor. It's a little sharp, dog. Why does it sound so painful when you dance?
I can't dance. My bones hurt.
Oh my God.
So do I. That young lady, by the way, is named Tove Lo. The song is called Habits, and she is going to be in our studio performing that live for us in just a couple of days, Wednesday morning, right here on the Kevin Devine Show. Very excited to meet her. Speaking of things we're excited about, our friend Matt Bellamy, ladies and gentlemen, back from The Hollywood Reporter, talking Emmys tonight. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
Doing well, thanks.
I don't know if I could do two award shows back-to-back nights. That's rough.
It's excruciating.
It really
is.
Yeah,
it was terrible planning.
you crawled in here this morning, Matt, I bet. So the Emmys are on a Monday night for the first time ever, or for the first time in a long time?
It's been about 40 years, and it's because NBC has the show every 4 years. And they really didn't want it to replace Sunday Night Football, which is the biggest ratings driver. So they just moved it to a Monday in August.
Really? The Emmys don't beat the football?
No. Football is by far the biggest ratings draw, and the Emmys got about 18 million viewers last year, which was a record, but they just decided to move it to Monday, which is going to cause huge problems.
So they would have, and I want to hear about that in a second, but they would have still put it up against the MTV Video Music Awards last night. That wouldn't have been enough of a reason to move it, right?
Well, that was one reason, but also there was preseason football last night.
Gotcha.
And even preseason football does very well on NBC.
Wow. Okay. So you say there's going to be problems Monday night. You're talking traffic?
Yeah. I mean, there's now going to be a major awards show in downtown L.A. starting at 5 o'clock on a work day.
Yeah,
I mean,
wow.
It's causing all kinds of problems. The traffic is going to be a nightmare. And because of the parking situation downtown, the allotment of limos has been, has been slashed to about a third less than usual. And some people are being asked to carpool. And
others are asked to jog.
Yeah,
carpool. It's like, Hollywood stars are going to carpool. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a definition of Hollywood problems.
So how big are the Emmys as a television event? Obviously, it's a huge deal for the people involved in the industry. It's very prestigious. You still want to win an Emmy. But how much do the viewers at home care about this show?
It's still a pretty big deal. About 18 million people watched last year, which was a record. Since I think the early 2000s, and it's not as big as the Oscars, it's not quite the Grammys or Golden Globes, but it's pretty big.
How do we feel about Seth Meyers as a host? He's not the kind of big name that necessarily is going to bring a lot of people in, like a Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, or even a Ricky Gervais. I don't think.
No, probably not. I mean, he's definitely more straightforward. Just, tell the jokes, introduce everyone. He's not going to do a big musical number like Jimmy Fallon did. He's not like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who have this built-in cachet. I mean, although we did hear that they are going to participate in some way in the show. But I think it'll probably just be very straightforward, some funny jokes.
He seems like he'll be fine and
exactly.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah,
that's sort of what you need.
Exactly. I don't think he'll do a big selfie stunt like Ellen did or something that will light up the internet. I think it'll just be a very fine, competent hosting job.
So one of the weird things about the Emmys is, I guess, I mean, no matter what time of year they do the show, there are always going to be older programs represented, shows that we've already moved on from. But, I mean, I feel like it's going to be weird to kind of be dipped back into the Breaking Bad world tonight, because there's going to be a lot of Breaking Bad on the show, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the big battle, I think, is between Breaking Bad and True Detective for drama series.
For best drama, yeah.
And I was leaning towards True Detective. I now think Breaking Bad is going to take it. People I talk to, just it's hard to look at that ballot, and when you see Breaking Bad, to not vote for it. It was that good.
It was that good, and it was the last season and the whole thing. So you think they'll get an emotional boost just from the people thinking, what an amazing series.
Yeah, I think True Detective is the new kid on the block, and people really loved it, and it was on when McConaughey was in the Oscar race and ended up winning an Oscar. So I think McConaughey will win for actor, but I think True Detective probably will lose out to Breaking Bad. I could be wrong, but it just seems like people had such affection for that show. And when you look at the ballot, I did one of those fake ballots. It's just hard not to vote for it.
Is it? Do you think people will write in The Walking Dead and or Orphan Black?
If you talk to TV critics, especially our Hollywood Reporter TV critic, he loves Orphan Black, and people love Walking Dead. It's the number one show on cable. But
not nominated.
Not nominated.
Huh. We've had that conversation. Look, the day that the Emmy nominations came out, and this is the voice of Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter on the Kevin DeBean, Sean Kerouac, talking about tonight's Emmy broadcast on NBC. The day the nominations came out, we almost couldn't talk that Tatiana Maslany had been ignored again, because her performance is so unbelievable. I mean, there are a lot of great actresses on TV. How many could do what she does on that show, playing six or seven different roles?
You know what, though? Just not that many people watch that show, and that matters.
But the people who vote for the Emmys, that's their job, is to watch those shows.
It's true, but you know what? There are so many drama series on television these days. It's impossible.
It's a tough category.
It's a tough category, and it's impossible to watch everything. Even a show like The Good Wife that people do watch, that got snubbed, and they had an incredible season.
But I'm going to go back to what Bean just said. It might be impossible to watch all of those shows. But if you're an Emmy voter and you're voting for drama, it seems like maybe you should make time to watch.
That would seem logical, yes. Huh. but voters don't often act that way, and it's, you know, it's what people are talking about, and if they're not watching it, they're not able to talk about it.
Huh. Okay, so we talked about Tatiana. How about the Walking Dead, though? I mean, that's a show that, as you mentioned, is a huge hit. Why won't that get nominated when the writing and acting is as strong on that show as anything?
I think one word, zombies. It's just because of the material. Because
voters are too cool.
Yeah, because it's considered a genre show. I mean, if you look at the shows that get nominations, it's Downton Abbey, Mad Men, House of Cards. These shows that are considered the kind of prestige dramas.
Right.
And as popular as Walking Dead is, and as much as the critics love it, it's still considered a genre show.
And is that the same excuse for Sons of Anarchy as well?
No, I don't. I mean, I think a little bit. Yeah, that's another great show and never has gotten the Emmy love. I think that one is just for some reason falls through the cracks, maybe considered a biker show. I don't know. It's just it hasn't gotten that elevation.
Well, Matt, you're not doing your job as the editor of The Hollywood Reporter if you're not going to people's houses and hitting them over the head with Sons of Anarchy DVDs. What the hell's wrong here?
You know, there are several thousand Emmy voters, it would be tough to get all of their houses.
Well, you have a year.
Come on. Exactly. It starts today.
Spread it out right for next year.
All right. We have to take a quick break. The Emmys are on tonight on NBC. Now, is this a live show, live to the West Coast?
It is live.
At 5 p.m.? Yep. Oh, that's nice.
Yep. It's great, except if you have a job and you can't get home at 5 o'clock to watch an award show.
Then you have to record it, and then you have to make sure you don't get any spoilers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. We'll talk some more about some of the other categories, what's likely to happen on the show tonight, and find out what the Hollywood Reporter coverage is going to be all about with our guest, Matt Bellany, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, Matt Bellany, in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Matt, have you done an ice bucket ice water challenge yet?
I have, actually. I did one this weekend in my backyard with my dog.
All right, because we were going to have somebody come in and just dump it on your head while you're on the air without telling you if you had enough.
Did you dump the water on your dog? You didn't, did you?
He got a little splash.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Lisa totally dunked her dog.
I dunked my dog, yeah.
The question is someone going to do it on the red carpet of the Emmys tonight?
Surprised. We were talking earlier. We were so surprised that nobody did it on the MTV Video Music Awards last night.
Yeah, I could see Seacrest or someone doing it on the red
carpet. Yeah, it just seems like it's so hot, somebody's going to. All right, we're talking about the Emmys tonight, and you started to tell us, and I thought this was interesting enough off-air that our listeners might enjoy hearing about it, too. the way that shows and actors and actresses end up in categories is they are submitted in those categories. And there's a little bit of gaming going on. Tell us what you mean by that, Matt.
Yeah, the networks, they want to get the most nominations and set themselves up for the most possible wins. So then you end up with things like Orange is the New Black is all of a sudden a comedy.
They put it in a comedy category up against Modern Family.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, and no one gets to say no.
No, I mean, there are comedic, there is like a, you know, laugh test, so to speak. But, you know, the thinking is they have a better shot of winning in that category because it's considered a more substantial show. And
you know,
it's
why?
An hour.
Because it's considered a drama.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dramas are what they are, you know, drawn to.
Yeah, I mean, Shameless moved from the drama category to the comedy category this year.
Oh, my God.
So it's just whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, Shameless is, I mean, there was a, you know, drug addiction and, you know, all sorts of.
Yeah, that
jail.
Is not a comedy.
It was not funny.
No.
So how would you fix that, Matt, if you were the king of Hollywood?
Well, I think you probably need to set up some kind of blue ribbon committee where people evaluate these shows and say, listen, you know what, that's not a drama, that's not a comedy, yeah. And really, you know, bring some oversight to it. And I think that ultimately might end up happening.
So this is exactly what happens when, in the Academy Award race, when somebody who's in, you know, clearly the star of a movie gets nominated as a supporting actor or actress because they think they have a better chance to win.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens in the series and miniseries categories for the Emmys as well. If you look at True Detective, that was an 8-episode show,
right.
That if it, you know, when it comes back next season will be a completely different cast, different storyline, different everything. Yet that's in the series category, whereas Fargo, which is the exact same thing, is in the miniseries category because that was, and it had more episodes because they correctly, in my view that as a miniseries.
Interesting. Huh. Now you mentioned in our last segment that you, if I remember correctly, you anticipate that Breaking Bad will win the Best Drama Emmy tonight, correct?
I think so.
All right. How about for Best Comedy Series? Who do you think that will win there? Because that's the category you just mentioned with Orange is the New Black and Modern Family going up against each other along with Big Bang Theory, Louis, Silicon Valley, and Veep.
By the way, Louis is not a comedy anymore either.
Not at all.
Not.
I don't know if people
not
are watching that
all.
Show, but that is not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic.
It's rough.
I actually think that Modern Family's 4-year winning streak is going to come to an end. I think Orange is the New Black is going to take it.
Because it's so funny.
Because it's just drop-dead hilarious.
All right, let's talk about Brian Cranston and Matthew McConaughey. That race.
Yeah, Cranston is, you know, the reigning champion, and I think that he's going to be beaten by Matthew McConaughey.
You do?
Yeah, I just think there's momentum there. You know, he won an Oscar, and to win an Oscar and an Emmy in the same year, it's only happened like 3 times, never for an actor. So I think the fact that he is just so well regarded, he's having such a hot moment right now, he's gonna take it.
All right. In the drama category, that was actor. For actress, Juliana Margulies, I think, has got to be the favorite, right, in that category?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially because her show was snubbed. The Good Wife was snubbed in the series category, even though they had this great season and they killed off the Josh Charles character. I think that Juliana Margulies will probably take it.
It's funny to hear you say that because they're not supposed to let that enter in at all, are they?
Like, no.
Oh, but her series didn't get nominated, so we should give her an extra vote? That's a weird thing.
People are human, and there was a little bit of outrage in some circles that Good Wife didn't get nominated. You know, people love that show that watch it. So I think that, you know, and it's a big broadcast network show that a lot of people watch, unlike some of these shows like Mad Men and stuff that have very small audiences. So I think that she'll end up taking it.
Let me ask you a question. In your position, you have to give your opinion on shows a lot. And we give a lot of opinions on this show, too. And when you give opinions, it really makes people angry if they don't agree with you. What is the show that you don't like that everybody is giving you a hard time about? Like, how could you not like that show?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is there one?
Well, you know, it's funny because I don't watch some shows. Like, I don't watch Orphan Black. And if you say if you say that to people,
you're a bad person.
They go nuts.
Right.
They go completely nuts.
Okay.
But most people don't watch Orphan Black. It's a very obscure BBC.
Small audience, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very small audience. And, you know, some shows just aren't for me. You know, I know that. Downton Abbey. That could be the greatest show in the world. I'm just not watching that show. You know, it's just not for me. And I think
Do people hassle you because, like we were saying, in your position, you need to. That's your job, isn't it, to watch these shows?
My job is to know what everything is.
Okay.
So I watch a little bit of everything. I at least know what Downton Abbey is.
Right.
I watched an episode and a half, and I was like, you know what? I'm done. I know what it is.
But they sure make a mean cup of tea on that show, don't they?
Exactly.
They're doing good work for lady, whoever this is for.
Lady whoever, and, you know, I just am not into it.
Lisa and I will be over here and joining Downing Abbey very much. Don't worry.
Yeah. Although it got a series nomination this year, which some people were surprised by because I guess it's not as good as it once was.
How you posed that as a question. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. I think that's a valid argument. Hey, let me ask you about a big picture thing, Matt. And this is Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter on the Kevin Bean Show talking about the Emmys tonight. And that is, what an impact Netflix has had in such a relatively short amount of time compared to, you know, how long it took cable channels to start getting the big awards. I mean, Netflix seems to have almost been universally accepted at award shows, which is a surprise to me because I would think that there would be a lot of old school people who would be fighting the tide.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at some very established cable networks like USA and TNT, and they can't break into those major categories.
Right.
And then you've got Netflix who in, you know, only 2.5 years of having original shows, they have a series nomination in drama for House of Cards, and they have a comedy nomination for Orange is the New Black, plus all the top categories like, you know, Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright for the acting categories, and the whole cast of Orange for some of the guest actors who won last weekend at the Creative Arts Awards. So
are you surprised by how quickly Netflix was able to adopt that model and then actually be this successful with it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of predecessors. HBO basically invented the model that Netflix is using, where you have, you know, very high-end prestigious dramas and you lure people in that way. But I've been very impressed by the way that they've just taken the bull by the horns and gone for it. I mean, House of Cards, they spent $100 million on, sight unseen.
Wow.
They greenlit that show without knowing anything about it other than it was Kevin Spacey and it was an adaptation of this British series. And they just made such a splash with
that. They just went for it.
That everything has come after that.
So that was money well spent because people knew that, A, they were taking it seriously, and, B, when you get talent like Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, people go, well, they're tremendous prestige Oscar-winning and nominated actors. It's got to be good, right?
Exactly. And it could have gone horribly wrong, and people could have just ignored it, but people didn't ignore it, and they had this subscriber base that was yearning for this kind of show. So they just hit it out of the park.
Do you think that Arrested Development was a success for them on Netflix?
I think so. I mean, they don't release ratings, which is very frustrating for people like me. But they, you know, the amount of cachet that they had and the amount of people that just love that show. I mean, Netflix is in the business of appealing to super fans. And they know via their data, you know, that, for instance, Netflix fans love Kevin Spacey, so they did a Kevin Spacey show. And I think that they knew that Arrested Development was going to be the kind of show that would get them attention and motivate the super fans to come to Netflix.
They don't give ratings. Do they give subscriber information? Like, are they still growing pretty fast?
They are. They're above 30 million subscribers. So in the U.S., they're, you know, above right around HBO levels.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, and they're growing. The frustration in many quarters is they don't reveal how many people watch the show. They've said that Orange is the New Black is their biggest hit. But other than that, we're left to wonder who actually is watching these.
Last question from me, Matt, about the Emmys tonight. If you know anything about this, Billy Crystal is going to eulogize Robin Williams. They usually do a big in memoriam segment anyway every year. Do you know anything else about what's going to be involved in the Robin Williams tribute tonight?
I just know that it's going to come at the end of the in memoriam segment, which I've heard is very good. I heard someone say it's shocking the number of people who died this year.
I feel like that every year. Like, wow, I didn't realize
you
this. That's a bummer segment.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know if you remember, last year the Emmys were criticized because they did a number of in memoriam segments, and people kept saying, man, this is just the downer Emmys. So I think that Billy Crystal's segment will be sad, but knowing him, he'll probably try to you know, make it uplifting and put some humor in there.
He seems like he's the right guy to pull
that off. Oh, absolutely. They were great friends. They did comic relief together, and I think that he's a good guy for this.
Do you think somebody was up late last night re-editing that segment to add Richard Attenborough?
Good question. I don't know. I don't know if he made the cut. It's always the death montage pool to see who makes it in and who doesn't.
Just have an announcer go, Richard Attenborough.
What's coverage going to be like on the Hollywood Reporter? What are you guys doing tonight? You doing any kind of live tweeting or anything like that?
Yeah, we've got all of our people on the red carpet in the show. We're tweeting. We've got, you know, our website, thr.com's and Overdrive. We'll have tons of coverage both on the website tonight and in print this week. It's going to be a bonanza.
Fantastic. Well, have a great time tonight, man. I hope eventually you can catch up and get some sleep this week.
Thank you.
Enjoy the Emmys, Matt. Always great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
What about front row seats to see Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden at the Hollywood Bowl? What about that, you guys?
I would say thumbs up.
It's positive, yeah. Give you a chance to win those next half hour right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. For a Monday, Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Monday means we take a look at the weekend box office to see what people went to see in theaters. Guardians of the Galaxy, once again, the big winner. $17.6 million made it number one this weekend, followed by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, $16.8 million. If I Stay, in its debut, made a little over $16 million. I made it number three. Let's Be Cops and When the Game Stands Tall were the top five movies this weekend. Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For was sixth.
Were any of you surprised by that performance that it didn't? Like, I thought everybody was looking forward to that.
Sin City sequel?
Yeah.
The buzz was awful.
Was it?
Yeah.
No. I don't pay attention to the buzz. Maybe I should.
The Giver.
What did you think of it, Kevin? You went to see it.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
The Giver was seventh. The Expendables 3 was eighth. 100 Foot Journey was ninth. And Into the Storm were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Steve-O, in a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
He altered a freeway sign in San Diego.
Yeah, dude.
The sign said SeaWorld Drive. It's the road that takes you to SeaWorld down there in San Diego. He altered the sign to read SeaWorld Sucks. And he put up a YouTube video of him doing that. And now the California Highway Patrol would like to have a conversation with Steve.
Yeah, dude.
Turns out that you can't just deface a sign like that. He said, of course, it was for a statement against their treatment of the orcas there at the theme park. Putting my foot down for Shamu, he says.
I applaud him.
Wait, you can't.
Doing that was wrong. I don't want to be right.
Did he say that?
He did. So he may have to at least come up with the cost of replacing the sign, which is $7,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the price tag on one of those signs on the road. So
it's a good idea to commit a crime and then videotape it and put it up on YouTube, right?
I guess it is if you're trying to make a point.
Yeah. Dave, we'd like to talk to Mr. O on tomorrow's show, if we could, please.
Sorry, are we getting in your way, Mugs? Are we stepping on the Mug Show in the morning?
Continue.
Mugs in the morning. Don't continue me like I'm slowing things down, you giant douchebag. Continue. Oh, thank you, my liege. I've got your permission to go on.
And the terrorist, situation.
The terrorist situation here is unbearable.
That's so funny.
I don't know.
This Ross reaction to Mugs. This is...
And it turns out that they don't want to let Mark David Chapman out of jail.
What?
Yeah.
That's an outrage.
The guy who murdered John Lennon outside his New York City apartment in December of 1980 has once again been denied parole. This is the eighth time he's come up for parole, and each time the parole board there in New York State says, we're not quite sure we want you walking the street there, Mark David Chapman.
So do they think that he might kill again? Is that their fear? I mean, is Ringo in danger now? What's happening?
I think they fear that he is...
Ringo's probably fine.
Incompatible with the welfare of society, was one statement said by a parole board member.
Do you think that they make these decisions sometimes just because of the outrage?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think that factors in.
Maybe that person... should get out. Not
I mean, 35 years later, if it was a no-name person that he killed, I wouldn't be surprised if they granted parole.
But he hasn't indicated that he's any saner now than he was then.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that
wasn't like he had a come-to-Jesus moment. He's like, oh, I'm much better now, thanks. I had a bad day back there in December of 1980, but I'm ready now to start becoming a stockbroker. By all indications, he's still a loon.
All right.
And by all accounts, also, the Pro Bowl will never forgive him for not getting Yoko. So.
He was so close. He had a gun close. And everything.
He had his chance, and they're still pissed.
See, that's the difference between over here and over there. 3 feet away.
Today's celebrity birthday. These stars born today, August the 25th. Sean Connery is 84. Regis Philbin's 83. Gene Simmons, the demon from Kiss, 65 years old today. Rob Halford, 63. Billy Ray Cyrus is 53. Rachel Ray turns 46. Claudia Schiffer's 44. Rachel Bilson's 33. Blake Lively's 27. And Alexander Skarsgård celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tell you how to win those Nine Inch Nails Soundgarden tickets in the front row in just a moment. But first, here on a Monday morning, Remember a couple years ago when I was involved in a kidney transplant, Kevin?
Yep.
I didn't know anything about organ donation. It was not something that had ever affected me in my life. I didn't know anybody who had ever gone through it. Then we had a good friend here at K-Rock, Scott, who needed a kidney. And I found out in the course of going through the procedure to donate that 18 people a day die in the United States waiting for organs. Most of those kidneys. There are other things, hearts, lungs, livers, things like that. And it was shocking to me that there are so many people out there with functioning kidneys that are not donating. It was a real eye-opener to me about how difficult it is to get people to take that step to make a donation.
I feel sort of selfish in that I only have two, and what if one fails? You know what I mean? Like, so I'm a little more self-centered and a little more scared to donate something like that.
Well, the numbers bear out that it's an extremely safe procedure for both people involved, and the chances of anything ever going wrong with a guy at your age who has had healthy kidneys his whole life, the chance of anything going wrong with your remaining kidney are so tiny.
Yeah.
And if something did go wrong, you'd be at the top of the list to get another kidney as a donor. But anyway, the reason I bring all that up is I had a similar experience reading about a Kevin and Bean listener named Trinica online last week who is trying to get help for a bone marrow match. And it turns out, even though there are hundreds of millions of people around the world who might be a good match for Trinica, she can't find any of them. And that's why she started a campaign to look for some help for her and for other people who might be in the same boat, because there is help out there. It's just a question of connecting the two people together. Trinica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. It's our pleasure. I mean, it's a great campaign. I mean, you really caught my attention because you had a bunch of Hollywood people like actor Rex Lee and Chris Parnell and everything in the video. So that got my attention. But what's going on with you? How are you feeling, by the way? How sick are you?
I'm not feeling 100%, but I'm motivated. My spirits are very high. Every day I wake up, I'm excited to be here, and just good.
What do you have? You have leukemia, right?
Yeah, I have a form of leukemia, kind of mixed with a form of lymphoma now called diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And so I've been looking for a match since last November.
How many rounds of chemotherapy have you tried?
Oh, wow. I had two separate rounds. Each round was six sessions. So I guess it'd be 12 total. And I finished my last one April of this year.
Okay. Now, just like you heard me say before we brought you on, that I didn't know anything about organ donation until I got involved in it. I don't know anything about how bone marrow, your situation works either. Bone marrow will help you how? What will that do for you if you can find somebody who's a match?
Well, what's happening with people like me with different blood cancers and also people with sickle cell, that sort of thing, our bone marrow is just a liquid in your bones. And for us, our bone marrow isn't doing what it's supposed to do. It's acting really funky, you know, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So what we need is, what they'll give me is just, they'll shock me with chemo, kill everything inside, and insert new bone marrow that's similar to mine with the hope that my body takes it as its own, and I will, come out of this and be healthy again.
How much bone marrow does a normal person have?
Oh, I'm not sure how much bone.
I mean, like I'm saying, if I were to donate, what percentage? How does that work? Do you know anything about that?
Well, if you are chosen as a match for someone, the way you sign up to join a registry is just a cheek swab and a consent form. You're in a registry until you're 61. So from that time, if you ever match anyone, they'll let you know. I've actually met people who've aged out of the system. It's a really difficult thing to match, considering I don't match my own sister, and we have the same parents.
Oh, wow.
So with bone marrow, it's kind of like blood donation. Giving platelets or a plasma, that sort of thing. 75% of the time it's through an IV.
Right.
And so, and 25% of the time it is a needle through the hip bone. You're in a light anesthesia, you don't feel anything. Both are outpatient procedures. So, and your body replenishes this, you can't run out of bone marrow.
Ah, there you go. There's the answer to your question, Kevin. So if you give, it's like giving blood. A couple months later, you'll be fine again, it sounds like.
Yes, it replenishes,
Now, is part of the problem with your situation, Trinica, that on the National Marrow Registry, there's a very small percentage of African-American donors?
Absolutely. That's unlike blood donations. If you match someone, you have the same blood type, that's a go. With marrow, it's very specific. It's like everyone's body has, their own code. And so there is someone in the world that matches me. We just, they're just not in the registry.
Gotcha.
So just because you sign up to donate, you sign up with the registry, doesn't mean you would donate. You have to match someone. So that's the thing, too. It's less invasive than, you know, donating blood where you do it right then. With this, you sign up, and then they call you if you match someone.
How difficult is it to be a match?
It's not difficult at all. I actually signed up a friend of mine who just matched someone. So I'm excited that he is able to help. They keep both parties anonymous. He matched a man. I believe he's like a 67-year-old man. They let him know what type of cancer and that sort of thing. But it's completely anonymous. And,
wow.
It's, you know, yeah. So it's
so
not
this isn't like there's one person in America who can match with. There's probably thousands and thousands of people that you could match with if you could find them.
Absolutely, if I can find them, if they would join the registry, yes.
All right. So what do you want our listeners to do? We wanted to have you on to not only talk about your situation and hope that you get healthy, but also to raise awareness on bone marrow donations anyway. What should our listeners do that are listening right now, Trenika?
Well, you can check out my Facebook page, Trenika Fights Cancer. You also can go to beatamatch.org. I also work with a local Beat a Match office here in downtown L.A. called A3M. A3MHope.org. Go there. You can sign up to be a sign up to join a registry and help save a life. You can help save someone who has cancer, and it's a good thing.
So all you need to do is it's just a swab, right?
It's a cheek swab and a consent form. You're in a registry until you're 61 years old.
See, the police already have yours, Kevin,
yeah.
So you're already registered.
That's
you're
true.
Fine. They got all the swabs.
But I don't think they're sharing it.
Trenika, please keep in touch with us. I mean, I hope that this message has, fallen on some ears of people who will actually do something, and maybe one of our listeners will actually end up helping you. But either way, please let us know how you're doing and keep in touch, okay?
I will, totally. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll put a link up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page to all of those addresses, the BeTheMatch.org and the organization that Trenika was talking about, so you can go there and see if you can help a sister out.
All right. We have seats in the front row mm-hmm. for Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden, and
you're gonna get sweat on.
Correct, yes. And we're gonna do a title fight. So basically, you just have to know the titles of their songs. And if you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give those away next. Milky Chance is the name of that band, and the song is called Stolen Dance.
Nope, that can't be what they're called for real.
That
can't
true.
Be their name. That can't be called Milky Chance.
That's their name, Milky Chance.
This is an unbelievable tour that they put together, Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden, both phenomenal live bands, both playing tonight at the Hollywood Bowl. It is completely sold out, but we have tickets in the front row for you. If you want to play Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bean, but we have never done this game correctly.
That is accurate, yes.
We make a mistake somehow in implementing this game, and we argued during that entire Milky Chance song.
And we agreed.
Correct.
We've played this game 100 times, and it's always bad.
Okay.
And I don't know why we keep going back to it, but let's try it again, and let's just hope for the best.
All right.
So let's meet our first contestant on line 2, please. Give me some Robert action, would you?
Hey, Robert.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi, Robert.
Robert, let me try to explain to you and to your foe on line 3 how the game is played. Dave and Lisa are in here, and they are going to be describing for you the titles of songs by either Soundgarden or Nine Inch Nails, depending on which one you want. All right? They're going to try not to use any of the major words in that title, but describe it otherwise. You pick that, you come up with the right title, then you move on to the next one. You do as many as you can in how many seconds on the clock, Kevin?
45.
All right, so if you don't know, if one is just not ringing with you, your partner's giving you a whole bunch of clues and it's just not making any sense, you can pass, and if you've got time at the end, you can go back to it. Whoever gets the most in that 45 seconds of those titles correct, they win the front row seats. Now, did that sound about right, you guys?
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Good enough.
Good enough.
All right, so that's Robert. So now let's meet contestant Ryan on line 3. Hey, Ryan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Ryan.
Good morning. Now,
am I, chop liver?
Yes, you are chop
liver. How's it going, Ryan? How's it going, Robert?
Maybe you are chop liver.
F you guys.
So, since you have to go first, Ryan, and that's that's a detriment to you, it's a little tougher to go first, we're going to give you your choice of contestant. So, do you want Dave or do you want Lisa?
Well, I guess I better stay away from Dave because he's already chapped at me.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he's just chapped in general.
All right. So now, because of the kind of game we're playing, we're going to give you an additional choice to make here. You want Lisa. Do you want Soundgarden or Nine Inch Nails?
I think I'm going to go with Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Okay. All right. So that's what Lisa's going to be doing. 45 seconds on the clock. Identify these Soundgarden songs in 45 seconds. Good luck.
Okay. You use this to eat soup?
Spoon Man.
There are seven of these in a week.
Fell on Black Days.
Okay, you've got one of the words right. The opposite of die is?
Live.
Uh-huh. And there are seven of these in the week.
Days.
Right, and you really, really wanted to?
Live. Days to live.
No.
Pass,
not
close.
Okay, this is In the Sky, It Shines.
Black Hole Sun.
Uh-huh. The opposite. Oh, okay, there are seven of these.
Oh, God. Ocean?
No, you have to. There are seven in a week.
Days.
Right.
Black Days.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. And then.
Right under the wire.
Ocean was good.
Wow.
Ryan, the one.
Those are similar.
The one you were having so much trouble with, and I understand why, is The Day I Tried to Live, yeah, is the Soundgarden song she was looking for. So, all right. Yeah. You got
I think you did good.
I got three.
Those are tough.
Yeah, those were very tough. All right, so three is what Ryan has. Let's see what Robert's got going on line two. He's unfortunately teamed with Dave, who's a terrible contestant.
And I'm undefeated, remember
but
that.
But is angry at everybody else. If they don't get it, it's their fault.
And is a liar because he's not undefeated.
Undefeated.
All right, so Robert, you're going to do Nine Inch Nails with Dave. You're trying to beat three. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this, Dave.
All right, the opposite of truth.
Lies. Terrible lies.
All right, cool. It's not farther. It's...
Closer.
All right, cool. It's your body and you have something in it.
Head like a hole.
All right. Another word for pain?
Hurt.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
That's it.
Have a winner.
Boom!
At 20,
Chuck-a-lucka! At 20 seconds.
Woo!
But
way to go, Robert.
But Robert was supernatural. You've got a thing in your body. Head like a hole.
Exactly.
Listen.
Hey, we speak. We speak Nine Inch Nails. We're Nine Inch Nails fans. We get
Shut
it.
Up, dude.
Oh, for God's sake.
We get it, Dave.
That's right, Robert. We get it.
Robert, you're going to be
undefeated.
In the front row tonight for Nine Inch Nails Soundgarden. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and thanks for playing Title Fight.
Thank you, guys.
You're so lucky, Dave.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
So what are we going to do with these 5 seconds of summer, kids? I mean, we got to drown them or something, right?
I don't know. When I was watching them last night on the MTV Awards, I don't care one way or another about them, but I did tweet that they do seem like they are 100% the opposite of one of my favorite bands, which is Foo Fighters. Mm. Like, Foo Fighters is the real thing.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then if you had to come up with a band that's the opposite of that, it would be them.
Yeah, I don't know very much about them either, but they did a song called Amnesia last night, which I've already forgotten, but they look like they were cast like for a TV show. They look like they found, okay, we need this guy with the big fluffy blonde hair, and we need this guy with the Mexican haircut, and then let's put this guy in a Sex Pistols t-shirt and this guy in a Guns N' Roses shirt to make him look tough in street, but they're so light. And that was, I mean... You could argue that Maroon 5 at least is a tiny bit rock, although they're mostly a pop band. But with the exception of the 5 Seconds of Summer having a little bit of guitar and Maroon 5 having a little bit of guitar, there was nothing else even close to approaching rock last night.
Yeah,
on that
true.
Show.
That's true.
Nothing else. And that's not MTV's bread and butter. I'm not saying everything has to be rock all the time. But, I mean, there is great rock music being made. And Lord knows we have a lot of it here on K-Rock. But if you were just coming down from another planet and all you knew about music in 2014 was what you saw on the MTV show last night, you would think that you have to be a 20-year-old girl with 15 cheerleader dancers behind
right.
you in order to be a success in this
and
country.
And you have to also collaborate with another singer. You're not allowed to do a song by yourself.
You can't put anything out unless it has either Nicki on it or Iggy. Those are the two.
Nicki or Iggy.
Well, let's throw a couple of highlights up from last night's MTV Video Music Awards. Beyonce was the big winner of the night, by the way, and had the finale performance. I think she ended up winning 4 or 5 of the awards last night, but she closed out the show with a big 16-minute medley of songs from her current album. I thought she was terrific. I thought she was just the highlight of the whole night. There was no host on the show. They used to have a host, right? I'm not imagining that.
Yeah, they have Russell Brand. Uh-huh. They've had terrible hosts.
Yeah, they've had good and bad, and it seems like it's more difficult. Just doesn't work. More trouble than it's worth, I guess.
They didn't have a host last night, but they did have kind of a recurring bit with Saturday Night Live's Jay Farro. He does impressions for SNL, and he came out and he was basically pimping, hey, vote online for the artist to watch or something like that. And he did some pretty good impressions last night, including when he came out as Jay-Z.
I'm just taking care of our baby, Blue Ivy. I'm a very strict father. I'm like Blue. Stop it. Stop it. Get the rolly out your mouth. You'll chip a tooth. Daddy loves you.
I thought he was really funny. And I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so that was a revelation to me.
He's rarely using Saturday Night Live also. But my favorite part was his Ariana Grande song about letting people know she's legal.
Because she is so tiny. It does look so young. But she's actually 21 years old, by the way, Ariana Grande.
His idea is that all artists that reach 18 need to have an announced song.
That is summer song, yeah.
That I'm legal now.
I think that's strong. He also came out and did a little Kanye West, which is kind of cool because although Kanye wasn't there, his wife was, Kim Kardashian.
Nah. This is a special night, but not as special as me and Kim's wedding. I wore a cape. That's right. Me and Kim are here tonight. Y'all probably seen us in the BAM video, like looking like a washing machine. Just looking at the camera like, hey, are we making love right now?
They're screaming.
Me and Kim are bigger than the Clintons, fam. We so next level, we named our daughter Northwest after an airline that no longer exists.
And it was funny because they would shoot to, you know, Kim in the audience, and she had kind of a smile on her face, I guess. I don't know how
you
much
you could tell she was not enjoying that.
Yeah, I think she was a little bit uncomfortable.
Especially when he said, he went on to say that she's the smartest woman in the world.
Yes.
That was funny.
It was kind of one of the only times that they went to them in the audience where they weren't on their phones, though, because Kim was there with Kylie and Kendall, and they just seemed to be glued to their phones.
Sure.
I mean, why are you at the show if you're not watching it at all? It was kind of weird.
They weren't interested in the show. Kidding?
Kim also brought Sam Smith out, who she said was a friend of hers. What do you know about that, Dave? That was a surprise to me.
I know nothing about
that. I'm guessing it's a complete lie.
Yeah. I don't know. She probably met him once, and now they're friends.
Kim is able to read off of a teleprompter, but she didn't exactly bring it to life.
Sometimes you hear a voice and you just know it's special. It moves you with its honesty and makes you feel like whatever's going on in your own life, somebody else might be going through it too.
Is English her second language, guys?
I'm the wrong guy to comment on this.
There were a few older people on the stage last night that they allowed to exist, like Gwen Stefani, for instance. She came out. The one that surprised me, and I know that Dumb and Dumber 2 is right up the alley of the MTV crowd, but I mean, when you think about it, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, I mean, these have got to be guys in their 50s, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I would think so. And they came out and they, you know, Jim Carrey does what Jim Carrey does.
How are you, Jim? Are you kidding me? I want to swing from the chandelier, the chandelier.
Doing a little see you there.
I haven't seen you in a while. I heard you pulled your groin constantly.
I was
watching that going, why is this happening? I know they're doing Dumb and Dumber 2. I get it. But stop.
Jim Carrey has that Robin Williams thing where he's so spastic and throws everything at the wall.
Yeah, but
it's exhausting.
But unlike Robin Williams, who used to hit with some.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he would throw stuff against the wall, but a lot of it was funny. Jim Carrey, to me, has just lost that. He just makes faces. That's what he does.
It was funny when he fell. That was funny.
Yeah. Did you think that was on purpose, Dave?
Oh, no. No.
He recovered really well by making it seem like he did.
Yeah.
So. And finally, and there were a couple of moments that they tried to do some serious things. Miley Cyrus, she got a lot of attention for the stunt that she pulled. Instead of going up to accept her award for the MTV Video of the Year for Wrecking Ball, she sent up a surprise to all of us watching at home. We didn't recognize this guy. I assumed it was the director of her video. But she sent up a guy who is either in real life homeless or was recently homeless. And he basically made a plea for doing more to get homeless people off the street and sent people to Miley's Facebook page. and she's working with a foundation there. So that was kind of a sweet way for her to use her what would have been her moments on the stage, just to kind of turn it into something positive. I thought that was a nice moment.
Did you find yourself questioning when it was going to turn and be funny or something?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was
a bit. Like a gag.
Yeah, I thought it was a gag, and that at some point he was going to laugh and do something, she'd come up or whatever. And then when he walked off, I was like, oh.
That was real.
That was real. Okay.
And he also seemed too dreamy to be a homeless guy. Didn't he?
I can't comment on that. I don't have that category.
And the other moment that was certainly risky was Common, who is one of the most politically and socially conscious of all the rappers. He came out and he brought the attention of the room to what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. And he wanted a moment of silence for Michael Brown, the young man that was shot by police in that city 2 weeks ago. And as he started to say it, Kevin, I know you were thinking the same thing.
Yep.
You're like, don't attempt a moment of silence at an awards show. Because just like at a sporting event, there's always some a-hole in the crowd who's going to yell something out in the middle. They cannot resist
the
opportunity.
Hey, it's silent right now. I could be heard. And that's just too much for some people.
Whatever I scream is going to be heard on television. I'm going to do it. And sure enough, that's what happened to Comet. There's always some a-hole. Listen up.
I want us all to take a moment of silence for Mike Brown and for peace in this country and in the world.
And the terrorists. You know, situation.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, come on.
Give it up.
What's that guy doing? What's that guy even talking about?
What the
hell, Kevin?
What is that guy doing? Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Amber Tamblyn's coming in, you guys.
Yeah. Love
hell
her.
To the yeah.
Right after the top of the hour, she'll join us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Monday morning, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Mondays suck.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to...
For any reason?
I want to cushion your Mondays a little bit.
All right.
Mondays just suck in general.
They do.
You got to go back to work or school, whatever it is. The weekend's over. Mondays blow. So let's make it a little bit easier for you. Let me give you a little something. The Simpsons are taking the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to happen at...
Where are they taking it?
They're taking it over, I guess.
Oh,
I should say. It's happening at the Hollywood Bowl on September the 12th. It's going to be the Simpsons joined by the L.A. Philharmonic.
So sounds classy.
It's going to be very cool. The Philharmonic Orchestra is going to accompany your favorite scenes on the big screen, as they do sometimes. They do those play-along events there at the Hollywood Bowl. A lot of special guests, a fireworks finale. If you are a Simpsons fan, as we celebrate every episode ever that's currently airing on FXX, then you will want to be in attendance for the Simpsons Take the Bowl. The event, as I mentioned, is September the 12th. I've got two pairs of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through at that number will get a pair of tickets for the event on September the 12th. However, they also doing it on the 13th and 14th. If you want to buy tickets, you can go to HollywoodBowl.com and you can get your tickets there.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Sure. HollywoodBowl.com. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Guardians of the Galaxy, number one again. $17.6 million made it so. Then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, If I Stay, Let's Be Cops, and When the Game Stands Tall were the top five movies. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, was sixth. The Giver, The Expendables, The 100-Foot Journey, and Into the Storm were the remainder of the top 10. Sad news over the weekend. Famed director and actor Sir Richard Attenborough passed away at the age of 90 this weekend.
His touching sound effect tribute.
Most famous of his 70 movies may still be Gandhi to this day, which brought him 8 Academy Awards. He acted in a lot of movies as well. He's a really good actor. He was in a movie called The Sand Pebbles and The Great Escape. He's terrific in that. Probably best known as an actor for playing the man who runs Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
He was great Santa Claus in that remake of Miracle on 34th Street,
right.
too.
Did that, too. Steve Martin's got a new movie in the works. He's kind of returning to his roots. You know, he started out working at the magic shop in Disneyland.
I did not know that.
He would sell people magic tricks in Disneyland. Demonstrate them, show them how they're done. He is returning
to that job?
To that job, yeah. Things are bad for Steve.
What a surprise.
No, he's returning to his early days as a magician in a movie called Magic Camp. He will play a straight-laced banker who returns to Magic Camp, which he attended as a shy child, brought him out of his shell. But this time he returns as a counselor who makes it his mission to take on a ragtag bunch of kids and help them win the ultimate prize, the Golden Wand competition. He's going to teach some of these nerdy kids how to be magicians.
I like it.
It's a funny idea.
Sounds funny.
I like it already. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively, she's 27 years old today. Rachel Bilson is 33. Claudia Schiffer turns 44 years old. Alexander Skarsgård is 38. Rachel Ray, TV chef, is 46. Billy Ray Cyrus is 53 years old today. Rob Halford, longtime singer of Judas Priest, 63. Gene Simmons of Kiss is 65. Regis Philbin is 83 years old. And Sean Connery, Sir Sean Connery, celebrates his 84th birthday. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Our old friend Amber Tamblyn just hobbled into the studios. Hi, Amber. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
You're not just in a play at the Geffen. You're in an extreme play.
I am. I've broken my rib.
What happened?
You broke your rib in the play?
We're not
on stage.
I think so, but we're not really sure. There's a very violent opening scene with a repetitive motion. That I have to do over and over again. Is that the magic word of the day?
No, am I
taking shots? Are we doing 8 a.m. shots?
We're assuming it's sexy.
By the way, we could do make that the shot bell.
But no, let's do it.
It could be used as a sexual euphemism bell.
When you start talking about your repetitive motions, I'm thinking, whoa, what kind of play is this? It is called Reasons to be Pretty, so it fits.
My husband David did actually make a joke when I told him and said, were you masturbating too much?
Nice.
All right, let's talk. We have so many questions about this play because we won't go see a play, as you know, and we advise others to follow our lead.
I saw opening night.
But Lisa has seen it and
loved
it.
I theater, and it was so great. And our audience specifically would love this play.
I totally agree. That's why I bugged you guys about it.
Absolutely.
It's about women and periods. It's, you know.
Yeah!
It's about the menstrual cycle, how it affects us all.
Right. Like, we don't get enough of that at home with our own wives. Now we want to see it for a night out? Come on, Amber. Let's talk about this opening scene, though. What were you doing when you got hurt, do you think?
The short of it is about relationships that are coming to an end, and this particular character that I play, Steph, is really pissed because her boyfriend has described her face as regular to a friend, and someone overheard that friend and told her. And
that's not a compliment, I'm taking it?
No. And actually, he says in the play it was meant as a compliment because he's comparing her to another girl who's very pretty. So, but the way that Stephanie deals with that is she goes apoplectic. And
okay.
I mean, there is – I've never honestly even – in my own personal life, said so many cuss words in such a short amount of time.
Sweet.
It's extraordinary.
It's impressive.
It's impressive. And then when he sort of keeps dodging the question after a while, she just loses it and says F you about 80 times and beats the crap out of the bed with pillows and everything and flips the mattress and throws ashtrays. I mean, it's very violent. Very, very violent.
Is the audience – and you've done – how many performances have you done so far, Amber?
Gosh, we've done so many. We've been on for 3 weeks, and this
So a couple of dozen times already.
Yeah.
So, have you had any audiences that have just been in shock because they just were not expecting to see this on stage?
You know, it's really interesting. Every single night is vastly different, not a little different, vastly different. You know, depending on the age, the gender, depending on who it is. You know, if it's the older Geffen subscriber audiences, you know, those old guys do not want to hear me say
no.
You the know, C word.
The C word 85 times. It's confusing. I have a small, adorable face. And then I say F you.
Yeah.
And
a lot
it,
of times.
It just doesn't feel good.
Well, you have a regular face, let's be honest.
Here we go.
Amber, do you have trouble with your voice at all? Because I thought if I were doing that night after night.
Oh, you do that every night, Lisa.
It would be tough not to lose your voice.
I mean, you can hear it. I sound like, you know. Katharine Hepburn went down on a fireplace.
It is
large.
It's
just, I've just
I'm
been.
I'm going to have to write that one down and go back later and try and figure it out. It's a good pull for our audience, though, Amber.
Hepburn. You guys know Katharine Hepburn,
sure.
Right?
Oh, we do.
We totally do. You guys are like baked and watching some. That's the least of my problems.
Really?
I'm just covered in bruises and like, and my body hurts.
Before we move on to that, tell me about, so you broke a rib, one rib, how many?
One rib, it's my third left rib.
Okay. And how's that feel?
Great.
Yeah, it feels really good. It's a follow-up question, Bean.
It is, you know, I've got a lidocaine patch on it, and I'm taking lots of Advil, and because I can't take anything stronger, or I can't, you know, I think that a scene would just end up being like, you know, me going, eh, it's okay, never mind. You said that. I'm just going to go chill on the couch, bro.
Well, the thing I learned about a broken rib, because I had one this year as well, Amber, is that there's nothing you can do to make it heal faster. There's no, you can't wrap
nothing.
It. You
it's
can't,
awful.
You just have to wait. You just have to wait it out, and it takes, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before it stops hurting.
Yeah.
But and you can't sleep.
But you have to keep doing this role for how long?
I have to keep doing
just
it.
Just through this week?
I have eight more shows.
Eight more shows.
So Tuesday through Sunday is the end of it this next week.
So your rib really won't start healing until then.
Until it's done. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting. I've had to pare down some of the physical movement of it, and which you won't see, but I do a lot of the stuff with my right side of my body now.
Interesting.
So, you know, and then as soon as the play is over, I open a bottle of Maker's Mark and I give it a kiss.
There you go.
That's nice.
There you go. Like they used to in the Old West. That's how they used to fight pain in the Old West. So what was appealing to you about this role where you scream and swear and turn over a mattress?
Well, I think in general, it's a really, really exceptional modern play about modern relationships that's not doesn't use old-fashioned language. That's why I loved it. You know, it's not like David Mamet. It's not those type of things. I think it really does speak to a younger audience, which is why I want younger people to come see it. And I think for any dude that's ever had a chick that's gotten really, really mad at them, they will enjoy watching him squirm, and they will identify with him. They'll feel terrible.
Are you positive that they'll enjoy that?
They will. They will, because there's also more. I mean, there's more violence that happens in the second act of the play, too, between two dudes. That's everything that any man has ever been through in high school happens in the second act.
Okay.
And for women, it's like, you know, I've described it as lady porn. It's the thing you would want to do if society would let you. If you didn't feel like you'd look crazy, if you just went there,
right.
You're kind of like living out that fantasy in front of an audience.
Does this scare your husband?
You know, on opening night, he did go to the bar to get wine, and a couple guys tried to buy him drinks, and patted him on the back.
Poor guy.
He's like, what? No. She's only ever hit me once. Which I did. I hit him one time.
Lisa, why did you think this play, and we're talking to Amber Tamblyn here on the Kevin Bean Show about Reasons to Be Pretty, which is showing at the Gil Cates Theater at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles right now. Tickets available through geffenplayhouse.com. Why did you think this play in particular would be good for the K-Rock list?
Well, I think Amber hit the nail on the head. It is completely modern. It's how we speak to each other. And
it's foul.
Yeah, it is. It's foul.
It's funny.
And it's
foul.
Spellbinding.
Yeah.
Like that first scene, and it's a long scene.
It is.
And I could not, like, I was just spellbound by the whole thing. I can't imagine anyone getting bored. And, you know, we have an ADD audience.
Big time.
You're not going to get bored
in
the show. Like, it moves.
And that's the Amber Tamblyn promise.
Does our friend Sean Hadassi, is he playing your poor boyfriend in this thing?
The poor boy is, yes. Mm. Yeah. He's amazing. Sean is great and so supportive and, you know, has to deal with me literally screaming in his face every single night, amongst other things.
Hitting him,
throwing things. I mean, that guy gets hit by – he gets physically hit by every single person in the play.
That doesn't seem like a good role. Like, somebody at the beginning led him astray and said, yeah, that's a good – you should take this.
I think he started to feel that way. Like, 3 weeks into rehearsal, he's like,
what am I doing?
Let me ask you this, Amber, before we have to take a break and come back and talk about some other stuff. And I've asked this question before, you could be in lots of TV shows, you could be in lots of movies, yet you choose to do something that's so exhausting for so much less pay for so many fewer people. Please describe the draw of the theater for you.
Well, this is my first play. I mean, I did theater when I was a little kid, but it was, you know, at my school here in Venice. And, you know, this play just spoke to me. I had seen it in New York. I'm a big fan of Neil LaBute. You know, In the Company of Men is a great, horrible, terrible, amazing film. And I thought if I was ever going to do it, it would be with a role like this that was just so intense. And to me spoke to how people really talk to each other, which is confused and not straightforward sometimes and filled with cussing and vitriol.
Not always pretty.
And when you're done fighting. At the end of the night, you feel great about it? I mean, it's a real high for you?
It's a high, but it's also like, you know, it's both cathartic and it's both terrible because you're taking the play home every night. It's difficult, you know.
Is it tough for you to get up for? Like you don't have a performance today, but like during the day tomorrow, will you be like, oh, yes, my God, now I've got to figure out a way to find this energy?
Every night is great. And again, maker's mark, that's why.
Sure.
after the play. And then I wake up and, you know, I just – my body getting out of the bed sounds like somebody threw 20 China plates down the stairs. Like you could not crack more than I do.
And you have two performances on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
That must just kill.
Wipe you out.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Truly.
Wow. All right, let's take a break. Amber Tamblyn here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to GeffenPlayhouse.com to buy tickets. By the way, they started under $40. So if you were thinking, oh, this is too fancy, I can't afford this, think again, because that's a great price for a great play
it's
called Reasons to Be Pretty. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
That's over. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9:21.
We got to get some sort of a timer that
there's
like
a
counts
timer.
It down.
It counts
maybe.
It down.
Yeah, light.
Lights.
Maybe a light would be good.
I have all of that.
Hey, that's Amber Tamblyn over there, you guys.
Yeah. It is. That's right.
She is on stage again in
polite
a play
golf
called
clap. For herself. Come on.
I was clapping for myself.
Yeah, I like that.
Reasons to Be Pretty is the name of the play. It's at the Geffen Playhouse right now, written by the great Neil LaBute, who, by the way, doesn't really hate women. He's just writing plays about situations that characters are in. I just want to put that out there.
Yes, agreed.
Amber, you are a big-time movie star as well. And we have seen the mysterious trailer for The Hateful Eight that is out.
I haven't even seen it.
You haven't?
You haven't. You got to get yourself some internet, girl.
Margaret Cho told me last night that she saw it, and I went, what trailer is that?
It's a trailer that just has like silhouettes of what the characters look like caricatures of the characters, and then their names up on the screen in like some Old West type with some music and stuff. So there's no actual footage from the movie. Has anything been shot for The Hateful Eight?
Jeez, I guess I should watch that.
Well, I mean, you are one of the people in the movie.
Maybe.
This is awfully mysterious.
You and me both, buddy.
It's mysterious to you as well.
Quentin is a good friend, and his process is maddening and wild and totally feral. And you know, you probably know as much as I do. And
really?
And is he crazy? He's not crazy.
In a good way?
He's just. He's mysterious, and he will put you through hell and back to figure out what he wants. You know, and I wish I had more to say.
You have no information about
the
project that you're in.
I have no information about it, and I don't think any other cast member does either. That did the live reading. I truly think maybe Kurt Russell does, but I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
But wait, why is there a trailer out if the movie hasn't been shot?
I think that's what Quentin does. I mean, he also made a poster. I think he loves to start the conversation of it and to, you know, get the feedback of his fans, and you know, it becomes a sort of reciprocal relationship, and he sort of starts to slowly put the elements together in that way. That's how he works.
Was there anything to, and I'll understand if you can't comment on this, but you know, we talked a lot about when apparently a script of the movie leaked, and we heard that he like threw a big tantrum about it and said he wasn't going to make the movie anymore, but clearly that's not true, right? He's still making it.
Yeah, he's making the film, yeah.
Do you know any more than that?
I don't.
That you can talk about. You really don't.
I know it's going in January. It's shooting in January.
Okay.
I love that he's so bizarre that even the people that work with him don't know what he's thinking or doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, and his friend, not even just working with him, but his friends too, you know, he's like a weird unicorn. You're like, are you real or is that thing something you got from a costume store?
Look, whatever he's doing is working because he's never made a movie that's been less than great.
Oh, yeah. Ever. And as someone who has read the script, including the new version of it, you know, it's it's a masterwork.
I can't believe you brought a copy of that script for us. That's shocking
to
me after what happened last
time. It's weird that you're making copies
during
the songs to distribute to everyone.
You guys, let's read it live on the air. Chapter one.
Did you know him before your role, your cameo in Django Unchained?
I did. I knew him through Tilda Swinton. He was actually hosting a thing that she did for a film, and we met that night. And
Amber goes to the coolest parties, you guys.
She has much better stories than we do. That sucks.
That night we flew to the moon. And,
what was Tilda sleeping in a glass box that night?
All three of us were. It was the weirdest sandwich you've ever seen.
What a bizarre life you have.
I do have a weird life.
All right. So the play is only on for another week.
Yes.
And then you start the Quentin movie in January.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. We'll see.
I have no idea.
All right. Anything else we need to know about your wondrous unicorn life?
No, that's it. I tried to get my husband to drive me to work.
But he's a cranky old man.
He is. He wanted to say hello to you gentlemen, and then he rolled
through
over
you.
And farted and went to sleep.
No.
It's hard to blame him for that.
Yeah. Pure romance, guys. Pure romance.
It's everything you always dreamed about when you were a little girl, imagining that perfect relationship in your future, right?
So dreamy. Finally got that bald Jew I always wanted.
That's right. That's right. Mission accomplished. All right. Well, listen, we are out of time. The Geffen Playhouse is where the play is called Reasons to Be Pretty. It's playing for another week. You should go to geffenplayhouse.com and buy your tickets. It sounds fascinating, Amber. Please try not to get hurt again.
I won't. Yeah, come see before I break another rib.
Yeah, seriously. And it's always great to have you, and we really appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37. And terrorists. You know, situation.
That's a good point, Kevin. Yeah. Good point indeed. Rob is here. It's time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Terrorist pot a bus situation. Oh, sweet Lord.
Yeah. We haven't played that moment with since 5:30 this morning, by the way. I think that's an outrage.
Let's go. Crank it up.
It's an outrage.
Crank it up.
But you tweeted it.
Let's light it up.
Every five minutes. Let it go. What's the
point of doing this show if we're not going to enjoy this moment with it?
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you. That's nuts.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's like a psychotic person talking. That's like someone you see rocking against a wall in some sort of facility in a straitjacket.
I wish I had an argument for that, but I
think
you're right.
Those are you would hear come out of that person.
I think you're right.
They would just be tapping their head against the wall. Saying, yeah. This infallible word of God, but what... Terrorist situation, just the aliens and your phone, just a question you never have answered. All right, Mr. Ryder, it's time for your medication now. Come with us into the day room. Time to get some sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine when I'm like a grandpa. Imagine the sense I'm going to make then. I've lost my mind entirely. I don't know who I am.
It's still about pudding at that point. top 10 movies at the box office. We look at it every Monday morning. Guardians of the Galaxy, number one again. 17.6 million. Made it number one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two. If I Stay, in its debut, was third at the box office. Let's Be Cops and When the Game Stands Tall were the top five movies. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For was sixth. Then The Giver, The Expendables, The 100-Foot Journey, and Into the Storm were your top 10 movies at the box office. Supermodel Kate Moss is about to have her breasts immortalized into a set of champagne flutes. That's right, you heard me.
Are they shot glasses?
No, I believe they're champagne flutes. Hmm. You know, the champagne flute is, sometimes it's a long, thin one, but sometimes it's sort of that wide...
But it's Kate Moss.
Cuppy, yeah, well, okay. Actually, that's just about the size of a champagne glass.
Right.
It's not a beer stein.
No, it's not.
It's not like Kate Upton. It's not a mixing bowl. It's just going to be a champagne flute.
This is going to be three quarters of an ounce of alcohol.
A British artist is going to take a mold of her boobs and then turn them into glasses. And then you'll be able to drink from her boob glass. In,
does that even make sense?
In restaurants all over London.
Yeah, I'd like
to sip champagne from her boobie glass.
The Kate Moss boob glass, please.
You don't know, man. You don't get it.
How did she? How did she get to be so iconic, Ralph? I mean, there are lots of obviously way prettier girls, but she has had a career that has spanned decades. Why?
Because she is unique looking. She doesn't look like anyone else, and she's rail thin, and clothes hang well on her, and she works the catwalk, and she's good at what she does.
She's just so not attractive.
And she got a celebrity bump from being with Johnny Depp for a while, right?
Sure.
I didn't think she was with Johnny Depp.
I don't remember that being a case.
Am I thinking of someone else? Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
You say so.
There's something about Kate Moss, though, that is just, it's just surprising to me that she has remained as popular as she has for this long.
She was always very striking. Look, they never sold her as sort of a pinup girl. She was never that kind of model. She was a fashion model. She was hired for her ability to show off clothing and to be striking when made up properly and to be severe. And she came along at a time when that was that was in vogue, no pun intended. And she has just remained at the top of her game because of that. And now she's got booby glasses.
More power to her.
So there. Madonna is having an auction. Some of her memorabilia will be auctioned off coming this November. The Marilyn Monroe-inspired gown that she wore in the Material Girl video is going up on auction. Also, her day planner from 1988. You can see handwritten reminders from Madonna about everything from dates with her husband of the time, Sean Penn, to appearances with David Letterman. The negatives and prints of nude photographs from a Penthouse magazine photo shoot. Her 1972 junior high school yearbook. Costumes from Evita, League of Their Own, Next Best Thing, some of her movies. All of it. Price to go. She stacks them deep and sells them cheap.
Volume. Why do people do this? Just to clean out their life?
I guess pretty much. Just
she's done with it?
Done with it. She's moving on and you can take home a piece of Madonna if you're a super fan, and there are many out there. And sad news, Sir Richard Attenborough has passed away at the age of 90. Famous actor and director. As a director, probably best known for his work as the director of Gandhi, which earned 8 Academy Awards. And as an actor, probably best known for The Great Escape, and then as the owner-operator of Jurassic Park. And as being mentioned as Santa Claus when they did the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
I believe it was
34th,
yes.
So good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively is 27 years old today. Rachel Bilson turns 33. Claudia Schiffer is 44. Alexander Skarsgård is 38 years old today. Rachel Ray turns 46. Billy Ray Cyrus is 53. Rob Halford of Judas Priest fame is 63. Gene Simmons of Kiss turns 65. Regis Philbin.
So much for the bean.
83 years old today. And Sean Connery celebrates his 84th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. Terrorist situation.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Emmy recap, as the Emmys are tonight, with the LA Times Mary McNamara. Bring in some highlights of that show as well. It does take us a couple of days to get through beer mug interviews. And he did some interviews for the VMAs, which, of course, were last night. When did you do this? Was it yesterday?
Yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to take a team of about 12 people to try and get through that. But then we've got some highlights of Mug's red carpet from the VMA. And we're going to talk to somebody from the Secret Service.
Oh, really?
What's up with that? They don't talk often. This guy's written a book. His name is Ron Kessler. And we've got him on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.